Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on New FM with myself, Patrick Donohue. My guest on the show today is Alex Duff, author of a recent book entitled The Freak, Family, Power and Money, The Business of the Tour de France. And I'm delighted to say Alex is joining me on the line. Alex, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
So, Alex, really fascinating book. So congratulations on the book. I might start, the first few chapters of your book go into the origin stories of the Amaury family that are the custodians of the Tour de France at the moment and have been for the past 75 years. But I might ask you first about the early years of the Tour de France, and you have fascinating details and the origin stories into how the Tour de France came into the existence. So if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about how the Tour de France came into being.
Sure. Well, it was an idea over lunch on a winter's day in 1902, if I recall. I wasn't there myself, obviously. reading back, there's some a few conflicting reports, but it was everyone agrees it was a reporter on the sports newspaper, L'Auto, who suggested in order to boost sales of the newspaper that they could hold a race which would cover the circumference of France. And this would take place in the summer and it would help to boost the circulation of the newspaper. And initially, the editor thought it was a crazy idea because it was just, incredibly grueling to cycle all the way around France. It was literally the circumference, skirting the circumference of France. It wasn't just like today, stages on different parts of the roads in France. It was literally covering the whole of the circumference. And the editor said, no, that's we're going to kill the riders if we did that. But somehow the idea sort of caught on, and it was incredibly successful. And it really boosted the circulation. It was like a kind of a soap opera in the summer, and the journalists would write about the exploits of the riders and sort of embellish some of the characteristics of the riders and the duels they had and the battles on the bike. And it became, a part of French history, very quickly. It was originally the first race started in the suburb of Paris. And because it was so popular, within a few years, they began to start on the Place de la Concorde, which is like one of the main squares in Paris. So it quickly became established.
And when did the Amaury family get involved with the Tour de France?
So the guy who inherited the race in the late 1930s was a guy called Jacques Godet, who was the editor of this newspaper, which kept ownership. And during the Second World War, he printed the paper during the Nazi occupation of northern France. And because of that, when the war was over and the Germans were driven out of France, all the editors were told, you can't continue in your jobs because you effectively collaborated with the Nazis. You printed their propaganda in the newspapers. And so a guy called Emilien Amaury, who was part of the French resistance, was tasked with the job of sort of restarting a free press. And Godet came to him and said, look, can we work something out whereby we go into partnership and we can relaunch a sports newspaper, which also in turn relaunches the Tour de France? And Amaury was up for the idea, and that's how it started. And so since the first race after the Second World War, which was in 1947, the Amaurys have owned part of the tour. Initially, they owned 50% stake, with Jacques Guidetti having the other 50%. But gradually that was turned into the Amrits having all the equity. It's been, as you said at the start, it's 75 years now.
Yeah, and I know you wrote a previous book about football and absolutely astronomical monies involved, and people that would start reading this book would be just amazed that one family has been the custodians of this race. And the detail that fascinated me in the book is that the teams do not get an awful lot of the spoils from the Tour de France. How have the family managed to preserve their position for so long?
Yes, but, so that's right. The teams get literally a tiny, tiny percentage of the revenue. So they get some expenses, roughly 50,000 euros in expenses. And then the only other money they get is from the prize money, which is, compared to any other sports, is a very small amount. And so they get none of the television income, which in other sports, it's normal for the television income to be shared among the participants, either the teams or the athletes. This is the model that's always existed in cycling, whereby the family says, okay, you can race in the Tour and you can sort of show off your brand names of your teams. Each team has their own sort of main sponsor, and they're allowed to show off their main sponsor on the shirts, but they can't take any of the races' broadcast income. This is the way it's always been. And any time, as I say in the book, sometimes the teams have tried to rebel against the status quo and tried to wrestle some of the revenue away from the family. But they've always been they've always failed, because effectively the teams need the race more than the race need the teams. You know, there's always another team around the corner which is willing to participate in the Tour, because it's such an enormous race in terms of the publicity you get. So the teams really need to be at the Tour, and they couldn't really risk having a boycott, because, you know, that just means that their sponsors will pull out because they need the Tour. And their sort of own business model is incredibly fragile. So that's the reason why the family and the Tour has always prevailed over the teams when it's coming to the distribution of the income.
And in many family dynasties, people worry that the next generation mightn't be as interested or mightn't be as competent as what came before. But is there any signs that the new generation that are coming, the new generation of the family, are they still as determined to preserve the race in the family?
Yes, I mean, there's no sign of any interest from the family to sell what is their golden goose. I mean, it's very profitable for them. They take home around 20 million euros in dividends every year. So, you know, so long as it's making money, there's no real incentive for the family to sell up. You know, they're very proud of owning the race. You know, this is the third generation now of the family which has owned the race, and they're rightly so very proud of what an important institution it is in France. So, from those two points of view, both financial and also, you know, status, there really isn't any good reason why the family would sell.
Yeah, and many, many people in Ireland will remember the Tour de France kicking off in Dublin in 1998. And you have the details of that book. That was one of the most controversial. It was just dogged by doping accusations. And there was even a danger that the Tour wouldn't be completed. And anyone that hears about the Tour de France, a lot of casual fans will think of doping. How have the family responded to, have they been strong on people that have been accused and even actually been caught doping? How have the family responded to these cases?
Well, the most sort of tangible response is that they've frozen the prize money. So after the war, the prize money from the Tour de France increased exponentially for many years because the Tour wanted to attract the best riders from around around Europe. So they wanted to try the Italian, the best Italian riders, the best Spanish riders, and so on. When these scandals, the doping scandal, including the, you know, the one in 1998, the Festina scandal happened, the family, they said, look, we're not going to increase your prize money if you're, if the guys that are winning the race are cheating. It doesn't make any sense. So they pushed back in a tangible way by freezing the prize money. It's barely risen over the last 20 years. I mean, certainly against inflation, when measured in inflation, it's fallen, and against regular incomes, it's fallen. So that's one measure. And it kind of helped to unify the French cycling teams against the foreign teams. You know, the French cycling teams, who in France, doping was a crime. And so it was like, you know, if you don't, there was a chance you could end up in prison. So the French teams, by and large, like to think that they were cleaner than some of the foreign teams. And so it sort of drove a wedge between the French participants in the Tour and at least some of the foreign participants. And that played in the favour of the family in terms of maintaining their power, because they could all usually count on the French teams for support whenever there was some kind of conflict or rift.
And Alex, the future for the family, I know they're involved, they're mainly involved in the press business. That's where they started. Is it still a promising future for them? And do you see the Tour de France continuing to grow and continuing to be a very profitable business for them?
Well, I think, yeah, they do still own some newspaper and magazines. I think their sort of newspaper empire has shrunk significantly over the last 20 or 30 years, mainly for the same reason that other newspapers have shrunk, and that is the internet. And so in the internet era, they've had to sell their main newspaper, which was Le Parisien. They still retain L'Équipe, which is the main sports newspaper in France. So they still own that. But I think that is becoming less and less profitable and often loses money for them. So very much the Tour de France is the most profitable asset that they have. Now, the revenue has remained pretty constant over the last 10, 15 years for the family. They've managed to pick up this annual dividend every year without much trouble because the contracts they have are very long term with French broadcaster, the French state broadcaster, and the race sponsors. So it's very not only profitable but also very stable. The problem is there's not much scope for expansion, really. It's you know, in the modern era, cycling is not exactly, you know, popular with the younger generations, partly because it's, you know, the races, the stages are so long. And today, people want 2 or 3 minute clips, and when a stage lasts 5 hours, you know, how do you capture that for the sort of social media generation? And so it feels like the demographic of cycling is aging. And so in terms of the long-term future, there are some questions about how long the Tour de France can retain its popularity, and how can it appeal to younger generations?
And Alex, just to wrap up, I'm right in saying cycling fans will be aware that La Vuelta, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the Spanish equivalent of the Tour de France, is starting on Friday. And the family owned the rights to that as well. How lucrative is that for them? And is it similar with the Tour de France? Once they have the rights, they're very determined to maintain or control over that race as well.
In terms of revenue, the wealth is much smaller than the Tour de France. You're talking about a profit of, I believe it's less than 5 million euros a year. So it's safe to say that it's earning at least 10 times less than the Tour de France. I mean, it's difficult. We don't have exact numbers for the Tour de France, but I estimate that they're earning more than 100 million euros a year. So for the La Vuelta in Spain, it's a fraction of that. And so the main reason they have La Vuelta is not for making money, it's just to consolidate their power in the cycling world. So the reason they bought La Vuelta was to make sure that, any changes to the calendar by the cycling ruling body, that they could stand up against those. And so they bought the Vuelta more as a strategic move than a financial move. It makes money, so that's fine. But I don't think it's seen as particularly important for the family. It's certainly no way as lucrative as the Tour de France.
Well, your book is an absolutely fascinating read. Didn't know prior to reading the book, often people will see, and that's one of the beauties about the Tour de France, that it is still free to air, like it's free to air over here in Ireland. And I didn't know the inside story and the business behind it. So your book really, really gives a fascinating insight to that. Alex, thanks a million for joining us on the show. Your book, Family Power and Money, The Business of Tour de France, is available now in all good bookshops or wherever you get your books. Alex, thanks again for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Patrick. Pleasure.